This morning, we were talking about seeing promises manifested. The title of this morning's message is, What is Written? And we started off in Isaiah 55, where God makes it very clear, you know, this is how it operates with me, but with you. He gives us this pattern. And it all has to do with His Word. It all has to do with His Word. And it's interesting how He talks about, He gives this this imagery of, you know, the rain comes down from heaven, waters the ground, and then things begin to grow, and you end up with something to eat. Well, Jesus gave a very similar comparison. He said that sower sows the Word, and He said it's like this. You sow seed, you don't know how, but it starts growing. And then by the time it's finished growing, there you go. You have something to eat. I mean, he's just rephrasing what God said, just putting it a little bit differently. And when it comes to, you know, that Jesus handled conflict and adversity over and over again, He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And it frustrated the naysayers because He exposed their foolishness and their error. But in doing that, in the declaration of it is written, He also confronted the devil to the point that the devil left Him. Now, please get a hold of that. You know, Satan's out there in the wilderness with Jesus, if you be the Son of God. And really, Jesus could have said, I don't say anything to you. I don't have to prove anything to you because I know you heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I know you heard that. So, you know, don't ask me to put on a dog and pony show just to prove something to you. The Word of God should be sufficient. The Word of God. And so Satan tempts Him and Jesus keeps coming back with, it is written, it is written. And finally the devil said, okay, this isn't working. And he left. Now get this. When Jesus was in that wilderness and Satan was attacking Him and he's tempting Him and Jesus keeps saying, it's written, it's written, it's written. And then Satan, you know, he throws up his hands and he leaves. Jesus' conditions didn't change at that instant. Now it tells us that angels came and ministered to Him, but the point I'm making is this. When Satan left, Jesus is still in the wilderness. You understand that? The manifestation of being in a non-wilderness area had yet to take place. And not only that, but after the devil left, there's Jesus. Now, what I don't see in Scripture is that God told Him, I'm sending angels to minister to you. Maybe He knew this ahead of time. Maybe God didn't tell Him. The angels just showed up and say, hey, listen, we're here to minister to you. They didn't show up until after Jesus said, it is written, and won that battle. Now, that's important to remember. A lot of times people are expecting angels to show up. Well, maybe we need to take a stand. You follow me? So, when it comes to us facing adversity and conflict in any area of our life, what is written concerning that adversity and that conflict? What is written? And quite honestly, you know, this morning I went through several passages of Scripture, or verses rather, you know, finances, health, and, emotional areas, facing temptation and what have you. And there are other areas as well, but what is written? And a lot of Christians just don't know. They don't. I'm not saying you have to have the whole Bible memorized, but still. How many of you, and every one of you in here, I'm pretty sure you would raise your hand and say, oh yeah, that's me. Okay, you're out at a restaurant, you're in a store, whatever, and a song starts playing on the radio from your childhood. And all of a sudden, you're singing along with it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. You're looking at me like, oh no, I listen. Yeah, you did. You listened to music when you were a kid. And depending upon, you know, your favorite kind of music, But you just started singing. You start singing. Yeah, well, I haven't had that. I haven't heard that song in 30 years. Yet you remember the words. Why is that? It's because you looked forward to hearing that song. You liked it. And you would listen to it intently when you heard it on the radio. You'd even reach over and turn it up. We're going back to AM radio only. No FM yet. Some of you are thinking, whoa, that's back when the dinosaurs ruled the earth. But there's songs like that. Every one of us, we're all like that. You know, I'm standing here and I'm half tempted to start singing one. The rest of you start singing, but I'm not going to do that. No, we're not going to get all carnal. No. No. We ain't going to get secular here now. Uh-uh, no. But nevertheless, the same thing would be true with the Word of God. If we had put the Word in us the same way that we put those songs in us. You know, TV shows are the same way. If I stood here and started singing, you know, Gilligan's Island, the whole bunch of you would join in. Oh, this is the tale of our... Okay, nope, I said I wasn't going to do it. Okay, sorry. And other TV songs. Green Acres. Everybody knows Green Acres. Good heaven. Now, everyone, you're all out there. You're singing that inside of you right now, aren't you? Lost Shores. But now see, if we had gotten into the Word the same way that we let those songs get into us, it would be so easy to say it is written. So easy. So absolutely easy. And when it comes down to seeing the promises manifested, the conclusion, really, you know, this morning, was that we don't have enough word in us to get the promises to manifest. Because Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible. You know, you can say into this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. As long as you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass, you'll have it. And obviously, he's not talking about secular. I mean, he's talking about Word of God matters. And in Hebrews, it talks about that the word preached did not profit because it wasn't mixed with faith. And that really is so important because we hear wonderful sermons. And I mean, we're talking about sermons that something in us says, I need to do this. You know, I need to pay attention. This message is really speaking to my heart. But then we leave and that's kind of like the end of it. We don't do anything with what we've heard. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so therefore, when it comes to not seeing the promises manifested, it all goes back to the Word, totally and completely. Look at the success Jesus had. It is written. It is written. And he ministered by it is written. Because the prophecy was he would heal us, right? And so what does he do? He goes around and he heals. Jesus was it is written manifested in the flesh. And so he goes around and he's doing this. And he's giving us lessons along the way. And he's telling us, you know what? If you get the Word in you to the point to where it is greater than everything else, you'll have success. You'll get what the Word says. And he even talked about that with the illustration of the mustard seed. He said, you know, the mustard seed is the smallest of all, but it gets sown. And when it grows, it's larger than anything else in the garden, to the point that even the birds show up and build their nests. Well, what he's trying to say is, if you are diligent to the Word, then eventually the Word grows to the point to where it's bigger than the conflict. It's bigger than the affliction. It's bigger than the adversity and so on and so forth. And you turn around and you say, it is written. It is written. It is written works on your body. You understand that? It works on your body. You know, your body starts acting up. And everybody in here, we've been through that. Well, thank God for doctors. I'm serious. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for what they can do for us. Thank God for medication that kind of will help us as we're walking through this and getting through it. But the most important thing is, are we declaring it is written? Are we doing that? Or are we just hoping that by His stripes we were healed is going to manifest? Because here we're battling a physical something, and it comes up in it. We're not bragging about it. We're not looking for sympathy, but it comes up in a conversation, and somebody mentions about, well, you know, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Now all of a sudden, yes, that's right. I know it. I know it. Well, praise God. You say you know it. But do you know it to the level that Jesus knew it? Meaning, when you're away from here, are you telling your body, by Jesus' stripes you were healed? Are you saying that? Well, most Christians, honestly, I don't believe they do. Most Christians, they're hoping that somebody will pray for them. Or you want to get in a prayer line where there's somebody that has a reputation for praying for people and they get healed. And you know what? That's okay. Honestly, it's okay. However, we don't always know where those kind of people are, where that kind of anointing is flowing. And we need to be declaring, by Jesus' stripes, body, you were healed. Well, you know, I fell and messed up my arm. You know what? By Jesus' stripes, arm, you're healed. Arm, listen to me. God's in His Word and healed you and delivered you from whatever it was, whatever it is. You say, Brother Martin, that's just plain old weird. And that says a lot. Because our bodies are supposed to be, God said, what's God saying in His Word about our body? Temple of God. Temple of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not supposed to be the temple of sickness and affliction and disease. It's not supposed to be. That's why God sent healing power. Well, if we don't know what is written to the point of being able to say it is written, you know, things are going to happen in life. You're going to start to get all frustrated and upset and you know, whatever. And if you don't know enough to say, it is written, that I cast the care over onto the Lord because He cares for me. It is written. I focus on the Lord and I have peace that passes all understanding. I know you understand what I'm getting at here. But if we don't have enough word in us, folks, it's not going to work. And this is the problem. As Christians, we do not have enough word in us to see the promises manifest. Because God's not a liar. And, you know, Jesus was down here. Remember, He said, I don't teach you anything that I don't hear myself. And so, it's like God is saying, tell them my word changes things. And so Jesus turns around and says, look, my words are spirit in their life. Well, that means when I'm saying it is written and I'm declaring this, I am declaring spiritual life. We wonder why God isn't coming through. And God, you know, put it in these terms, He's wondering, well, why aren't you coming through? You're my child. You have my life in you. My life in you is compatible with my word. Why aren't you doing this? The entrance of my word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Well, if God sent His word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction, then the entrance of His word not only gives light and not only gives understanding. Guess what? The entrance of His word brings healing power. So, you know, body, God sent His word and healed you and delivered you. It is written. It is written. Now, here in Luke chapter 24, Jesus has been crucified and He's about ready to ascend back to heaven. And He's talking to disciples. And in verse 49, he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Okay? Well, it is written that God is going to send the promise upon us. Jesus himself said it. It is written. He is sending the promise of the Father upon us. That's right. Amen. But there's more to the verse. "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." You can't go to Capernaum and tarry. You follow me? You can't go to Ephesus and tarry. You have to go to Jerusalem and tarry. Yeah, but Jesus, I don't really like Jerusalem. You know, I got some family there that they're jerks. So I'm wondering, can I go to Capernaum? I mean, what about, you know, that city in Samaria where all those people decided they liked you? Can I go there? "Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Tarry. Not take a vacation, stay a week, and go home. Tarry. Get that? Tarry. Do you know what that meant to them? Number one, he didn't say, "All right, now fellas, look. In just a few days, 10 days, 15 days, 20 days." In other words, he didn't give them a time frame. He just said, "Tarry. Tarry." Well, it turned out to be, you know, right about 10 days, but he said, "Tarry. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." So, guess what they had to do? They had to take a hard look at their lives and try to figure out, what is it going to take for me to tarry in Jerusalem? Because the end result is, the promise of the Father is going to arrive and I will be endued with power. So, what is it going to take for me to tarry in Jerusalem? Now, this word tarry, it comes from the Greek word kathizo, and it means to cause, to sit down, to seat oneself, to abide in a specific place. So when he said tarry, when he said kathizo in Jerusalem, they knew. There's no other option. It's Jerusalem or bust. So they go to Jerusalem, and they knew to tarry. Abide. Stay. Don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem. So they went to Jerusalem. It altered their lives. Completely altered their lives. Now, Jesus didn't tell them that they couldn't eat. He didn't tell them that they couldn't go down to the river and take a bath or, you know, things like that. You follow me? He just said, tarry in Jerusalem. Well, the ones that did that, about 120, it makes perfect sense that they would have said, folks, he said to tarry in Jerusalem, where do you think we should do this in Jerusalem? And somebody had to come up with the idea, well, I know this guy who has this very large upper room where we would all fit. And he also, you know, was a follower of Jesus when Jesus was here. Let me check with him, and I'm pretty sure he'll let us stay there. So that's how they ended up in the upper room. Or maybe one of the 120 owned the house or the building where the upper room was. Bottom line, there they go. They're in the upper room. And they're tarrying. And they're tarrying. You know, every now and then they'd order in pizza or send somebody out for Chinese or whatever, but they're tarrying. They're tarrying. And guess what happened? Exactly what God told them. They received the manifestation of the promise because they tarried according to what God said. Well, what Jesus told them to do. Now look in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now, this is right before Jesus gets arrested and put on trial and subsequently crucified. Matthew 26 in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know this, you know, happened again, but we'll stop right here, verse 41. Now, here in verse 38, Jesus says, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That word tarry, it's a different word, a different Greek word than the one we saw over there in Luke. This word tarry is from the Greek word meno, and it means to remain, abide, dwell, to live. But now listen to this. To remain in or with someone, to be and remain united with him, one with him in heart, mind, and will. See that? So now, what Jesus is saying is, tarry ye here and, what's the next word? Watch with me. Okay, now this word watch. It comes from the Greek word, now I'm going to try this one, Gregoreuo, something like that. It means to watch, to refrain from sleep. It denotes attention to God's revelation, a mindfulness of threatening dangers which, with conscious earnestness and an alert mind, keeps it from all drowsiness and all slackening in the energy of faith and conduct, the duty of alertness as opposed to lack or sleepy spirit. In other words, Jesus is saying in verse 38, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. In other words, you know, I mean, it talks about how that, you know, he went just a little ways off and he's praying. But what he's saying here is, I'm not here to do this by myself. I am here asking you to be with me during this time of my preparation for what is about to happen. These guys weren't even born again. And he's asking them, help me out. Jesus is asking for help. He says, I want you to be in a place of unity with me concerning the goal that we're after. Well, what was the goal? That God's will would be completely fulfilled. And this is just amazing because he says, tarry ye here and watch with me. It's all about them being in unity with him concerning what is to him a common goal, the will of God to be accomplished. Now for us, the same thing is true today. It makes no difference. Meaning, he's not looking to go to the cross. We understand that. That's already done. But when it comes to the Word and sowing the Word, whenever we sit down and we begin to sow the Word in us, we read it, we're listening to it, do you understand he's there too? He's with us? Because the common goal is what? To conform to the image of the glory of Christ, and the sower sows the Word, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. So there's a common goal. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. But if I don't understand that from the Word, I could even come to the place of being born again, but then publicly refuting that I could do the works of Jesus. But that's not the Word. The more I get into the Word, the more I open up, the more I tarry with Him in the Word, the more I tarry with the Word in the Word, is the more I get to the place of being like Jesus when I start saying things like, it is written. It is written that God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Financial stress, listen to me, it is written, you are an enemy of the cross. You are an enemy to my soul. You're an enemy to God because God did not save me to leave me struggling my whole life. It is written. It is written. It is written. So therefore, we come to that place of having that kind of confidence in us. Why? Because of the Word. Now obviously we know about praying in tongues and how that helps. That's not what we're talking about tonight. He says, tarry and watch with me. He's still asking people to tarry and watch with Him so that we can become everything that God has desired for us to become. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now remember what he said there in Matthew 26 about tarry and watch. And how that means basically to be diligent about, well, relative to this message, to be diligent about getting into the Word and not allowing our flesh to tell us what to do, to remain from sleep, the duty of alertness as opposed to slack or a sleepy spirit. You say, well, a sleepy spirit? What in the world what do you mean by that? In other words, we become lazy spiritually, and we're not being diligent to getting the Word in us. How many of us are there? Yeah, right. Because by now, guys, we ought to be walking around, it is written, in Jesus' name, be healed. And people get healed. Everybody, we're all in this. It is written. We'll lay hands on, Jesus said, it is written. We shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Right? That's it. It is written. It is written. We should be at a place now to where we can minister to people and say, it is written, in Jesus' name, I lay hands on the sick, and they recover. And people should be getting healed. Sometimes they do. Well, sometimes they don't. But they should be getting healed all the time. And yet, I've ministered with people, you know, talked to people about this, and it's amazing to me how many Christians, they know this, they are not in the camp of healing's not for today. They know these things, and they're in agreement with these things, but then when it comes up to, well, why aren't they getting healed? The question is all too often, I just don't know why they're not getting healed. I mean, I'm doing what's right. I'm laying hands on them. Well, the answer, like I said this morning, the answer is in the Word. There's not enough Word in us to work through our hands for the people to be healed. But we don't want to admit that. Every one of us wants to see ourselves as some kind of spiritual giant. Well, you know, it's time, like I said this morning, to be honest with ourselves. Because if God says, you do this, and here are the results, and we're not getting the results, then we must not be doing what He says the way we ought to be doing what He says. And so, you know, that's got to change. I mean, if we want to get the results, that has to change. And in Romans chapter 13, look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Another way to say that is, it's high time to awake out of sleep or to awake out of spiritual lethargy. He's not talking about a physical sleep. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. See, what do you mean our salvation? I'm already born again. No, he's talking about the return of Jesus. He's talking about the end. And he's saying, look, we don't have time to be spiritually lazy. We've got to do what's necessary. And as I mentioned this morning, back in those days, they didn't have TV or movie theaters or the internet or cell phones. They didn't have any of those things as distractions. None of it. They didn't have, a professional baseball, football, basketball, soccer, hockey. They didn't have all these stadiums where they could go and watch all these different sports. They didn't have, what are those things called? Where you show up before the game in the parking lot? And tailgate party. They didn't have tailgate parties back then. But here today, there's all this stuff. And you can be incredibly active and yet still be this place of spiritual slumber, of spiritual lethargy, and not be in sin. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look here in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See that? He's telling you there in verse 14, wake up out of that spiritual slumber, that spiritual lethargy. You're all born again. Stop cruising through life on the way to heaven. You know, put forth the effort and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay, this is interesting because he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Well, what does that mean? What could I do to walk as a fool? I could refuse to do verse 14. I could refuse to awake from the sleep. I could just remain in my spiritual lethargy, just going by day, same old thing, same old thing, same old thing. Hey, listen, don't anybody even flinch on this one. But if you have been or are at a place of saying things like, I'm just tired of the same old thing. I'm tired of being in a rut. I need a change. I need to get away. Okay, if that's you, you know what? Spiritual slumber. Spiritual lethargy. Absolutely. Now, somebody could say, well, Pastor Jim says it's wrong to go on vacation. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. It's okay to do that. But when you come to a place in life to where you have this, I need to do this. I'm just tired of the same old thing, the same old thing. I've got news for you. If the same old thing is worshiping the Word, you're not going to get tired of it. You're going to enjoy it. But when you have that spiritual lethargy, then you have this, you can get this idea of, it's just the same old thing. I'm tired of it. I got to get away. I just got to get away. Away from what? If you're spiritually lazy here, you're going to be spiritually lazy wherever you go. Because when you have this, I just got to get away. When you get away, you're going to have more distractions. You'll create more distractions. Let's see, how can we fill up our day? Let's go look at the bird nest today. Let's go. You're going to do that. Okay, again, there's nothing wrong with going on vacation and seeing the sights. Do not misunderstand me. But when that becomes the driving something on the inside, okay, there's something wrong there. And he says, don't be a fool. Live your life as somebody who is wise, redeeming the time. How do I redeem the time? It's for the glory of God. For my spiritual growth, my spiritual development. This is how I redeem the time. Because if I redeem the time, then guess what? I will, verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. If I'm redeeming the time, I'll understand what the will of the Lord is. How do I redeem the time? Well, how about getting into the Word, worshiping, but we're focusing on the Word tonight. Yeah, redeem the time. Redeem the time. And what he's saying here in Ephesians is it's similar to what God revealed to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, from God's perspective, it's reasonable that we would rearrange our lives so that we can get the Word in us, so that the Word can work through us to bring about the manifestation of the promises of God. And then if we don't do it, that's the weird thing about it. Too many Christians expect change, but do nothing to facilitate the change. And to a certain point, all of us have been guilty of that. Now, maybe not all of us right now, but in our lives, we've all been guilty of that at some point in time. Folks, look, it's not going to change if we don't do what God said will bring about the change. You know, if you have a flat tire, that tire is going to stay flat until you do something about it. I mean, you can't sit in there on the couch watching TV and then go out the next morning and that tire is still flat and then get mad about it. I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. Why isn't that tire fixed? Well, did you take it some? Well, no. I mean, it's supposed to be fixed. Well, what did you do to get it fixed? Well, I don't know. Well, not. Why are you asking me these questions? I'm a mighty man of God. And I know the preacher said. I know the preacher said. What about God? Jesus, when Jesus was walking around doing the it is written, what he wasn't doing was saying, the rabbi said, it is written. No. He was speaking straight from the Word of God because it was the abundance of his heart. It's like I said this morning, when it's the abundance of your heart, then it is written, it's just going to come out. And some people, honestly, there are Christians out there who could get really offended at this. Because, well, I read the Word, and I know the Word, and I'm not... You know what? The very fact that you're offended at this, I read the Word, I know the Word, I hear the Word, and I'm still not getting a result. The very fact that you're getting upset about this is proof that you don't have the Word in you the way that you say. Because otherwise, you would not be taking offense at hearing this. You would understand. If God says, here's the way it works, and then you do your part, you're going to get results. That's just how it is. And I'm sharing this with us because, again, this is one of those, like I said this morning, let's just be honest here with ourselves. The reason that we're not getting the fullness of manifested promises is because there's not enough Word in us to bring about the manifested promises the way God said. And again, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that, you know, you say it today and everything's fixed tomorrow. No. Remember what God said. My Word goes forth. You know, it's like seed. It grows. And sometimes that growth can take a while. That's where he talks about in Scripture, don't get weary in the well-doing. It is written, body, you're healed. It is written, body, you're healed. It is written. You know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Father, it is written, I ask for wisdom, you give it to me. Now, you know one thing he's going to say about that one? He's going to say, yeah, hey, I already gave it to you. And you come back and say, what do you mean? Well, wisdom, you asked for wisdom, I already given it to you. And you say, well, when did you do that? It's all a few thousand years ago. It's called the Book of Proverbs. The more you get into it, the more... Look, I'm telling you, the book of Proverbs, the more you get into the book of Proverbs, the more wisdom is going to come into your life. It's going to be sown into you. Bottom line is this, guys. If we don't get into the Word and get the Word in us, if we don't rearrange our lives to do this, and don't leave thinking, I'm saying, well, Pastor said you can't watch TV anymore, and you can't be on the computer anymore, and you might as well throw your cell phone away. Don't want to make Pastor mad. No, Pastor's not saying that. What I'm saying is, if we do not accommodate the putting of the Word into us, then you know what? I don't know why that we would have or think we have any reason to complain, especially when we know that everything starts with the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of your financial breakthrough was the Word. In the beginning of your healed body was the Word. In the beginning of your peace of mind was the Word. On and on it goes. In the beginning was the Word. And it's still true today. Folks, this is a battle. It's a battle with our flesh. It's a battle with our emotions. It's a battle with everything in us that doesn't want to give the time to the Word. Thank God that not only do we have our Bibles, but we can also listen to the Word being read. Sow it, sow it, sow it. And the change is going to come. Be patient. Be diligent. Don't be weary about the well-doing. Because if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap of the Spirit. Praise God. Father, I personally speak for myself and I want a greater hunger for Your Word. Your Word can't fail. You're not a liar. And therefore, Your Word is the answer to everything. So I thank You for the revelation of what You've said, the promises, just everything about Your Word, Father. And I pray also that those hearing this are going to have an increased hunger for Your Word. And Father, we have to do our part, but then You will do Your part. And Father, I give You the praise and the glory for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Because it is written, You will never leave us and You will never forsake us. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.